This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Joe Singh.
Alison Milden.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, first of all, just the issue, how to refer to you. Now, you said you are Joe Singh, and so I could say, do I say hello Joe or hello Singh or...
One of the biggest confusions with Asians and a lot of the Eastern world, the surname is the most important thing. So they, to put it a simple way, it is like a school roll. Smith, John, present sir. Cunningham, Mary. And that's how they take it. So when a young fella like me turning up, even the older people, doesn't matter, and I say, right, at the immigration, name, Joe. Other name, Singh. So it goes on the immigration papers, Joe Singh, surname Singh, Christian and Joe. And it suited me fine, didn't worry me, because I was so used to hearing it, even at that age.
But your family name, real family name is Joe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after, when the boy, the two children got older, and I says, it doesn't seem right, we want it sorted out. If it would be all right with you, can we swap it to Joe? And I says, not a problem, but I can't do it for me. And the reason for that is when you establish commercially, people will say, well, who the hell's this Singh Joe? And that doesn't do very much when they have to think.
Yeah, because they're all familiar with the term Joe Singh.
Well, commercially, you spend thousands of dollars to advertise a brand. And so that I said, look, I'll remain. But I changed it officially in all the papers.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I go to the hospital now, the tax department latched onto this. And what they did was, these people, there's something not right here. This one's losing money, but this guy's making money, but they're not related, and we can't tax this one. So what they did was they gave us an official number, just like the hospital. Give you a hospital medical number, and doesn't matter which hospital you go to, that number they'll know exactly. So they did that, the alias number 72994, known as Singh Joe Wing Wong Bong 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 Ding.
Okay.
Hello. Now, just a digression, I'll make you smile. How do you think, with the millions that we've got in China, how to have so many different names and still able to bring out more? Very simple. The old days. About the birth of a child is about to start. Three or four of the senior members of the female and the male side of family would gather outside in the anteroom. And one person will have a pot, another one will have a pan, and somebody else would have a wok. And then the last person would have four coins, different weights. They hear the voice. Right, up goes the coins. Out comes the utensils of cooking. And as it hits, it goes ping, pang, wong, donk. That's the name. Isn't that simple?
No, so, but there is something though, because I've got four children all with Chinese names.
Yes.
And the thing is, there aren't like in we have, you know, John and Richard and Helen and so on. There are certain standard names, and you pick from a list of standard names.
That's
but
right.
For Chinese, it's more you pick words and you put them together in combinations for a name, and it's the meaning of the words. That's
right.
Important.
The year that you're born, are you year of the pig, year of the dragon? year of the ox or whatever.
Right, the horse.
They're supposed to be, that is your personality, supposedly, but it doesn't work that way. So that all comes into it with the names. And when they have a name, the name must mean something. And if, for example, one of my cousin bros, they gave her a name of Mui Yeng Zhou, right? Or Zhou Mui Yeng. Mui Yeng means a beautiful cherry blossom, suitable for a girl. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, she turned out to be very beautiful in the face. But I think the fact that it was such good proteins when she was young, she was quite a very nice, cuddly person. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, my name in Chinese means that I'm a pillar of a large city.
Now, if it's Zhou Xing, so your first name is Xing, but that's Xing. What... Ooh, Xing, I was going to say.
Wu Xing.
Two parts.
I hate using that word Wu because it sounds like, he's a wooer. So I never use it. And I just use a shortened. And that's what they all mean. And
when you were young then, were you called Sing Sing?
No, just no. Called Zhou.
Just called Zhou? No, I mean by your parents.
My parents, Sing.
Just Sing?
Yeah.
Because often they'd double it, wouldn't they?
If it's rallies, just very young.
If it's
rallies visiting, or anybody that's not my direct family, Wu Xing.
Yes, okay.
Because that is the proper way of addressing somebody. Mm-hmm. You notice that Asians, when they give you a business card or their card, it's always with two hands.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to accept it with two hands, the reverence of it. And you'll notice that the Chinese in the opera, or any one of those, they have this.
Mm-hmm.
Notice always the left hand clasping over the right hand.
Oh, okay.
And that is, I'm holding, I have nothing in my hand that will harm you. That's my sword hand.
Oh, the right, okay, so the left hand covers
the right hand.
Sword. Okay.
Yeah. Because if it's that way, they can whip it, they can whip the hands. Look, you can get off a bloody miles. You could get off a mile. So, let's continue on.
Okay, hang on that. But there was one key point.
Mm.
It means if you don't know, because for some Chinese, you have the family name, then your first name. And for Europeans, we have them the other way around. So some Chinese have reversed them to the Western way. So you don't know which is which.
Ah.
So if you there's someone that you don't know, a Chinese person, you know the name, but you don't know which is the family name, what do you do? How do you address them?
It's always the traditional Chinese way.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be Zhou Wu Xing.
So
always. But because of the new generation now, semi-westernized and etc., they just simply... Bill's son, how are you?
Oh, okay.
Oh, Mary's daughter. Oh, she's lovely, isn't she? How is she? How are you, daughter? So that's... Oh, it just sort of makes it easier. And the new generation...
So you avoid actually using the name.
It's just very hard for the new generation to try and remember all the traditional things.
Yes.
See, if I see somebody I haven't seen for a while, and they were a kid, when I knew them, I might be 18, 19, and I'll say, oh, who are you? And he'll say, I'm John Thackeray. I'll say, John Thackeray. Who was your father?
Hmm.
Oh, Chen Da Choi.
Hmm.
Ah, now we know whose son you are.
Yeah, okay.
And so even I know that, like that name Thackeray, is that Choi. But because of the Western ways of saying it and where we've been schooled, it can be very confusing. So always, if you get, what the hell, what do I call him? The full barrel.
Yeah.
And you'll never make a mistake.
Okay. So, because he said your name is Joe Singh, and you were always known that way.
Yes.
And so people thought Joe was your first name when it's the family name.
Yes.
And so actually, before we started recording, I said, "Well, how should I refer to you, as Joe or as Singh?" He said, "As Joe Singh."
Yep.
Okay.
Then so it's no mistake.
That whole name. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And I'll nod to both.
Yep.
Yeah, and a red envelope for both.
Yep. isn't that only if you're a child and I'm the adult or something?
The adults give to the child. Yeah.
Yes.
The oldest one always go very
ones.
Broke at Chinese New Year.
Yes.
Because they're the ones give to the younger ones. Never the younger ones give to the adults.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're digressing a little bit the program way.
That's right.
So it came to the crunch when first supermarket turned up. And I said to my mother, by that time it was only my mum alive, my father had passed on. I said, that is going to be the beginning of the end. It's we can't compete, there's no way. So I had about a 2-year window to try and change.
Yeah,
but I wasn't educated enough to do anything else. Fortunately...
Yeah. Yeah, that's fortunately, how you got into photography.
Yes, fortunately upstairs.
With an apprentice, was it a 5-year apprenticeship you said before?
Oh, I did about just over 5 years, well, just under 5 years apprenticeship. Yeah. And how it happened was Frank Goldingham used to do the Photorama. Photo Gossip magazine, printed upstairs. And he came down one day and he says, "Do you know how to use a camera?" Okay. Proudly, and I didn't really know, yes. And he said, "Look, Jerry Drayton." I said, "I've heard of him." He said, "They're looking for somebody to take candid pictures at weddings." And he says, "Take your pictures along and show it to him." Wet in my pants.
Can I ask that? In those days, now, wedding photography, one, it's all digital.
Yes.
They expect a massive collection of pictures. They also want video. It was quite different, at least when you started. I don't know if it changed much in your time as a photographer, but what was the approach? Was
the approach
it
then in those days
in the studio or on location?
No, it was the studio was the main thing, because going back years ago, everybody had a studio photo because everything was so dear, so expensive, film, camera, and they had very nicely posed. There wasn't one seam wrong in the bride's dress, right? You've seen them.
Yeah.
But got to the stage where it got loosened up. So then they, because of the lag between the bride and groom having their pictures made at studio or wherever, there was at least an hour or so before they managed to get back to the reception.
So when would the studio photographs...
Right,
have
go
the
to the church first.
They'd have
this, go to the... They'll be at home preparing.
Yeah.
This is before we took pictures.
Yeah.
And then they went to the church, went to ceremony, then they went to the location for their photographs. Then they went back to the reception.
Okay.
And then those that they couldn't fit in... They used to have a wedding dance. Remember those wedding dance days? So, so some entrepreneur thought, "Oh, we could make some make a business out of this." So they went to the house to take pictures, the prep pictures. Then they went to the church, and then the lag between, they thought, "Here's an opportunity to take all the gears for future business." So they take all the pictures there and they go to their studio to look at them. And he said, "Oh, I have one of those and I have to." Because those days, cameras are very expensive.
Yeah.
All right. And people then went and selected some photographs. And if it wasn't for a lot of the candid pictures and the old fashioned box camera, a whole couple of generations wouldn't have pictures.
I was going to say that was before, because it did get to the stage. During your working life, when you could buy filming cartridges that you could put in a camera, so it became more accessible to the general public.
Yes, it's a new industry.
Of course, now it's digital, which is totally different. But.
Only time they used to be able to get a picture is they went up to town, the farmers came into town, the men went to the Cosy Club or something, the ladies went shopping, and there'll be a couple of photographers on the street by the post office or Broadway, and they'll take snaps of people and give them a card.
And you'll see ask about yeah. that. Yes, yeah. The street photographer.
Street photographer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe, they have made a living from that.
They managed to make a living because two ways. One, it brought customers to their shop to buy a film or to buy another camera. But by the same token, there was the only income in between the weddings and the formal things.
Yeah.
And Joe Greening and Elmar Studio, they were the two big big fish of the candid, they used to be called candid photography. So then this new one of guests, and we took those, and then I went up and had a look at pictures, etc. Now, the change started to come when it was colour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. Polaroid had instant colour. You take
which
a picture.
Which faded.
Yeah, it was unstable.
So yeah, so the Polaroid camera, you take that, you'd have the single shot.
That's right.
So wrap, you take the picture, it would slide out. You'd wait a certain amount of time, unpeel it.
Yep.
And then there's the picture.
Yeah. But it was a very unstable colouring because those were early days of permanence in any of the dyes, and even colour prints faded.
I was going to say photos from the 60s.
That's right.
All of faded now.
Mm. Kodak's Agfa's went green.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing turned green. Kodak's went yellowy.
Mm.
However, you still got those. You can still get them to re-photograph it and add, because digital now can add different colours on it before it totally fades. So I thought, oh, okay, I can take pictures. And I said, oh, you can take. So I went to see Jerry Drayton. And he said, oh, yeah, we could use you. And starting to wet my pants then. So then I got this job of Saturdays, always on Saturdays, weddings, unless you were a farmer or somebody of note who can afford to have a Friday wedding. So I started working for them and go around with all the guests and take their pictures. But talking about photography, one of the most, taking candid photographs made you able to communicate and also how to deal with people. I was most grateful to have that job for about 4 to 5 years.
Now, children, young children, are there any techniques for photographing them?
At the reception, at the wedding reception, no. There wasn't many of the little kids.
Oh, so there wouldn't be too many to worry about.
No, yeah. And if it was, it belonged to the family. I would have had pictures taken on the
mat.
We were the lowest of the low photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they used to call us stringers. Mm-hmm. Just pull along and take some pictures.
Yeah.
But I learnt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funny things was, because we didn't have expensive zoom lenses like we got now to bring them in, you had to move in close if it's a single person and turn the camera that way. And you always had a tie.
Mm.
You either fell into soup, the tie, dragged on the soup, or the jelly, or whatever. And as you go home, it was a brown tie. Now it's turned into a black tie when you got home. Irrespective, that was how it started. And then one day I said, I'd like to be a photographer, because I got to be, I used the word, very valuable in projecting those people so that the studio had some more secondary income.
Yeah.
And I said, do you think I could come and watch you do a studio photograph? And it was, no, sorry, but the bride and groom and people just don't like to have people. I understood that, but I also was very pissed off. So I thought, there must be another way of learning. And I did learn. Every time they changed their windows, which showed their best work, I'd go along in the evenings and have a good look and study them. And then I clicked on. Why don't I photograph them? So I took them, then studied them, and looked at it. And that's how I learned to pose and see what was the difference between my pictures and the ones that were taken by the professionals. And one of them was Barry Woods, and he was a theatre man. And he was so good in lighting that he could make a flat board three-dimensional purely by lighting. And people say today, oh, how do I become a good photographer? Learn the art of light. Mm-hmm. That's all. And I've got a little thing here, for example. This is digressing.
Yeah.
Position of your camera, the source of the light, determines the result of the picture. It will influence how a viewer will respond emotionally to your photograph.
Okay.
I'll leave this with you. Okay. I'll leave this with you. This is what I gave out to every student.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy to remember the above words as a prompt. Easy to remember words as a prompt before pressing the shutter. Remember the word cars. C-A-R-S. Camera, angle, in relation to subject.
Mm-hmm.
Cars. Right?
Yeah.
Then the next one, and this should bring a giggle from
me. So hang on then. That's great. You need to watch the camera angle in relation to the subject. What's a good angle and what's a bad angle? You don't look up the nose.
And how do you know that? Because the next one asks first the car. Camera angle, where you're gonna stand.
Yeah.
All right? But position of light, where's the light coming from?
Yeah.
The angle of the light. Is it high? Yeah. Is it low?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And soft light, like overcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or hard light.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ask the students, get a pineapple, put it on a box, get your camera out, just close in on the camera on the pineapple, take one picture at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same place, one picture at 12 o'clock, one picture at 3 o'clock, one picture at 6 o'clock. Develop the film and see what happens when the light is coming from the side. You've got light, black,
yeah.
White, black. You go to lunchtime, you've got this lit two-thirds, a bit of the light coming on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately do you get shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, the very last one, from that side, it's late in the day, the light is very soft, the wrinkles, especially for senior people, are much softer. Mm-hmm. Midday, they're as hard as icicles.
So the best time to take photos of old people is in the evening before it's too dark?
Overcast day better.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to wait for the time.
Yeah, okay.
And then the other one is,
Now, hang on. I'd also heard, and this is slightly different, but the best way for an old person to take a photo is if they're lying on their back and hold the camera up above, because then all the skin on the face actually sort of falls back rather than drooping down.
Right. There's a theory to that. I always suggest to the students, never take your grandma before 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. Because they're so used to putting a bit of makeup on. They put the makeup on in the morning. By about 11:30, the face drops. And when the face drops, mascara up here is down to here.
Mm-hmm.
And the cheek colours are down there, because it's mm-hmm. gone from taut when they're yeah. lying flat to going that way.
Mm-hmm.
So never take a senior person's face, taut portrait, till about 11:30 to give a chance for the fluids, the face to drop.
It's better after it's dropped rather than before.
Oh yes. And the other thing, now I'll get.
Really?
I'll answer that in a minute.
Character?
Yeah.
Is that
I'll answer that
character?
In a minute.
Are you trying to show character or that they're more.
Or
they look younger and more attractive if their face hasn't dropped, isn't it? Or?
No, because what happens is that all their friends see them when they're not first thing in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And they say, that's not you. And then they look in the thing and say, that's not me.
Ah, okay.
That's not me.
And they're not going to say, oh, I look much better than I really look.
Well, what you do is you make sure that you have this all pre-controlled beforehand and tell them why you're doing it.
Aye.
Once the clients inform, they're much more accepting. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this comes to market. I'll leave you all this.
Yeah,
comes to marketing. Doesn't matter if you're selling pea pods or selling a diamond.
Yeah.
You've got to know the client.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make sure that the client is able to buy it without feeling embarrassed and say, oh, well, we'll look for another one when they really say, I can't afford it.
So with an old person, if you had, say, here's a photo of you from 9:30 in the morning and this was at midday, which would you like to buy? They would choose the later one?
They always choose the one that they're used to.
Okay.
And if they start passports. Yeah. What an awful picture of me. My God, that's awful of me. Madam, you need a surgeon. You don't need a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
But never said it. It's only mentally you say it in your head.
I just keep asking them to take more pictures.
yeah, but then it's also the photographer's fault. But now...
You can't smile.
You can't
do
anything.
You look terrible.
Yeah. And then the very important one is, you're the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So you looked after the camera angle in relation to the subject, all right?
Yeah.
That means, are you going to shoot from up high...
Mm-hmm.
Which makes their forehead big and their chin small,
mm-hmm.
or shoot this way up, and they have a bulldog chin and a narrow, flea-looking head, okay?
Yeah.
And that also is determined by the fact when they look at you with their eyes, they get squinty eyes by looking down.
Yeah.
If they start squinty eyes like Asians,
yeah.
go about 6 to 10 inches above their eye level, and their eyes
look bigger. Yeah.
Are bigger.
Okay. Now, I did hear with now the selfie stick. You know the extending stick? You put the camera
yes.
on the end, and you should always be holding it up so you're looking up at the stick.
One of the reasons for that is to make sure you don't get a lot of crap behind you.
Yeah.
So that's me, not six other kids and somebody running around and somebody doing this and
yeah.
somebody doing
that. Oh, yeah,
that.
All the people trying.
Yeah.
What's the term for that? When a photo bomb, is it? When they're trying
I don't
to bomb
know.
You? They're just... You're taking a photo and so someone says, oh, well done.
Pushes.
Yeah, some stranger just comes in and does it. Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
That. Once you start getting very interested in it, these all click into place because the most important thing is, first, your camera angle.
Yeah.
From high, from low, from side. Secondly, is position of the light. That's why I suggest you look at the pineapple, which gives the pineapple the barbs that stick out and which doesn't. And the last one is, are you photographing poi? Means this person or object or an item. Now, that means...
What's the difference between an object and an item?
Right. Which of these is important in photograph? People will move about here and take a picture. Right?
Yeah.
One third is occupied by the person.
Yeah.
Two-thirds by the background.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important? That person there or the background? So you think, oh, I better move in closer. And you take it again and you're taking it that way. You've got a lot more shoulder here and a lot more shoulder here.
Mm-hmm.
What's important? The portrait of the person. What you do with the camera?
You
turn it up. So you take it this way.
Portrait,
Yes. And then above that...
But now, though, you also say if you're too close, with certain lenses at least, if you're too close, you get the distortion in the picture.
Correct.
So now with digital images, you take it from a distance and then you just crop the image down to what you want?
You can make use of that very easily. If you're photographing an anorexic person, an anorexic person,
yeah,
go in close,
yeah,
on a standard normal sized lens, okay, and it'll make them a little bit bloated. Yeah. What a lovely photo!
Ah, okay.
If you, thought, yeah, yeah, if you photograph that, a chubby lady, yeah, man, let's not be sexist,
yeah,
a man or a woman, what you do is move back, and those jowls will move in a wee bit. But because of the fact you now got zooming,
mm-hmm,
which is very common now on any digital, yeah, camera, you zoom in so that when you go in, it still squeezes it.
So you're physically further back, but you're using an optical zoom
to eliminate the bloat.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it's, yeah, a skinny person who's skin and bones and never had a good photo, then you put it on wide angle,
yeah,
and move in a bit closer, and they'll be so satisfied they put on 7 kgs instantly. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.